Good morning, everyone. It is great to be here once again and be able to share God's Word with you. I am excited this morning to dive into Scripture with you, and I hope that you are as well. I do hope that you have a Bible with you, or you have a Bible on your phone or computer or something, so that you can follow along with some of these Scriptures. Let me just say a couple things by way of update and reminder, and then we'll get started here in the sermon. We are all doing wonderfully in the Driver household. Everyone seems perfectly healthy, and we don't seem to have any disease at this point. And our quarantine period ends this Tuesday. So we are looking forward to that. It's amazing. You never think you're excited to go grocery shopping, but I'm just excited to be out of the house and be somewhere else. So I'm thankful that we have gotten through this and that the Lord has been with us even during Jackson's positive test result for COVID-19. In a couple of weeks, June 7th, we are planning to offer in-person worship services once again. So we are going to begin with Sunday morning worship only. So that will be at 10:30 a.m. If you would like to join us, you will be welcome to join us. If you are not yet comfortable joining us, that's perfectly fine too. You are not sinning by not joining us for worship. We will continue to put these lessons online. We'll have the whole service online. And I will also mail out the written versions of my Bible studies to those who are not online and are not going to be joining us. Later on this week, I will be releasing a document that really details how we're going to be doing this. And that document is something that can be changed. So maybe once I release it, you'll read that and say, you know, I would worship with you if you would just do this. And I would love to know that sort of thing. I would love your input. In fact, I'm making some changes on the document already because of some of the input you guys have given me. In regards to that, there is a poll if you wish to participate. That asked the question, would you want us to require masks for people who are worshiping with us? So you can vote on that. I did put a link to that poll in the description. So if you look at the description of this video, you should find that poll. So please keep those things in mind. Please keep us in prayer. You know, this is a tough time to navigate. There are many people who want us to have already been opened or to have been open this whole time. There are other people who think we absolutely should not open at all. So it's a situation in which we can never please everyone. But we are God's people. We are going to continue to move forward in grace and in love and in humility. And so in regards to that, I would invite you to join us this evening on our Facebook page at 5 p.m. And I am going to share a lesson really in regards to the attitude that we need to have as we move forward during this time of pandemic. So keep those things in mind. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll dive into our message this morning. Father, you are a good and an awesome God. You are a God who has loved us and cared for us, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of a time in which there are serious illnesses, in which there are threats all around us, in which there are people who in many ways are living with discord and sometimes, Father, there is fighting and things like this. But Lord, we are thankful that you have been with your church, that there has been peace and there has been love, and that you have kept us safe, Father. I pray that as we begin to gather together in the month of June, that you would continue to keep us safe, that you would keep us from getting ill. If we do get ill, that it would be minor. And Father, at the end of the day, that you would help us to have the faith to be able to face whatever comes our way. We know that even though we are Christians, life is not always easy, but yet we know that you are with us and you love us. I pray now, Father, that as Jesus taught us to pray, that you would lead us not into temptation, but that you would deliver us from the evil one. And Father, this morning as we open up your word, I pray that you would help us to be more Christ-like, to sin less and to love more. I pray, Father, that you would guide us during this time. Please be with me as I speak. Be with all your people as they listen and as they study and learn. I thank you so much for all that you've done. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing I've noticed is that there's something that has spread almost as quickly as the COVID-19 virus. And that would be the conspiracy theories that pop up surrounding the virus. Now, if you were to look up the word conspiracy in the dictionary, you would see its definition does not mean crazy idea. You know, sometimes we get that impression. But rather, this is the definition of a conspiracy. A conspiracy is the act of two or more people joining together to do something that is wrong or that is unlawful. Okay, so a conspiracy is when two people or a group of people come together to do something wrong, to do something that is unlawful. So with that in mind, I'd like to share with you some conspiracy theories that have circulated around COVID-19. And as I read through this, you might say that one is totally insane. You might say another one seems totally plausible. In fact, we may have people listening who would say that one sounds true, that one doesn't. Maybe you buy some of them, maybe you buy none of them. But here's some conspiracy theories that have been put forth. Some have urged from the beginning that this virus did not originate from animals, but rather was born in a Chinese lab and was possibly released by the Chinese Communist Party as a biological weapon. Meanwhile, there have been some in China who have insisted that the virus was brought to China by us, by the U.S. military. Some have claimed that this is a big plot by the pharmaceutical companies. They want to get us all sick. They want to scare us so that they have another vaccine that we must spend money on. Some people have claimed that Bill Gates is involved in maybe start of it, while others think that it's our government's way of taking away our freedoms and establishing how much control they can have over us. Some think that the virus is caused or transmitted by 5G cell phone signal. And there are some people who just believe the whole thing's made up. There is no coronavirus. Or at least the facts around it are lies. They're things that are not true. Now, as I read through that list, you might think, okay, that's insane, or you might think that's plausible. But there's one thing that is certain, and that is we live in a world in which conspiracies do exist. We've got to admit that we live in a world in which people do come together and they do plan to do wicked things. We live in a world in which people conspire together for evil. And whether any of these things are true or false in regards to the coronavirus, that may be seen as time goes on. But history shows us that there are people who plot together to do things that are evil. And what I would like to do this morning is shed light on the greatest conspiracy of them all. And it is not anything that involves the coronavirus. It doesn't involve the Russians. It doesn't involve President Trump. It doesn't involve any of these things that we sometimes hear in the news. No, I want to share with you the greatest conspiracy there ever was. And it's a conspiracy that Jesus himself brought to light. Let's turn to John chapter 8 and verse 44. Please grab your Bible and go to John's Gospel, the 8th chapter and verse 44. And let's read about the greatest conspiracy that there ever was. John 8:44, Jesus is speaking to a bunch of very religious people. And he says, "You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so what is the conspiracy mentioned here? Where do you see people plotting together for evil? Well, you see it with man and the devil. See, the greatest conspiracy has nothing to do with any virus, any political campaign or leader, any plot in our world. The greatest conspiracy is that of mankind and Satan coming together for the purpose of sin. What is a conspiracy? It is two people or more plotting together to do something that is wrong. And whenever you and I sin, we are coming together with Satan. We are conspiring with him to do something that is wrong. Turn over to 1 John. We were just in John chapter 8. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. It's written by the same person, the Apostle John. And I think he drives home the point here that Jesus himself implied. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 8. It says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him. He cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Here we've got an amazing contrast. He says, on one hand, if you make a practice of sinning, if your lifestyle and your habits are ones of sin, ones that are constantly in rebellion against God, he says, you are of the devil. Jesus said you are behaving like your father, the devil. You are showing yourself to be a child of the devil. When we live in sin, we are conspiring together with Satan himself. But on the other hand, he says, when we live with God, when we live lives of righteousness, we show that we are children born of God. And so here lies the greatest conspiracy of all conspiracies. Satan working with us and in us for sin. Whenever you or whenever I commit sin, we must realize that we are working together with Satan. We have entered into that conspiracy with him to do what is evil. And when we practice righteousness, on the other hand, we show that we have been born of God and we are working together with him. Now, sometimes when we, quote unquote, work together with Satan for sin, we do it intentionally. Sometimes we do it unintentionally. Intentional sins would be those that we do even though we know they're wrong. We know something is sinful, but we choose to do it anyway. This is what is spoken of in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He says that some people make a practice of sin. They make it their lifestyle. They choose to sin, even though they know it's wrong. They know full well it's going to be destructive, that it hurts God, but yet they do it anyway. Back in John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said there are some people who have the desire to do the devil's desires. It is their desire to do Satan's will. They are choosing to do what is wrong. And whenever we choose to do what we know is wrong, we are entering into a conspiracy with Satan. But there are also sins that are unintentional. Sins that we commit without knowing, or at least without fully grasping how wrong they actually are. In fact, Jesus mentions that the devil, which is a word that in the Greek literally means a slanderer, a liar, it says he is a liar and he is the father of lies. And when Satan speaks, it says he speaks out of his own nature. When he lies, he's speaking from himself. That is who he is. Kind of like how the NIV paraphrases that when it says, when he lies, He speaks in his native language. At the heart of Satan is a liar. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 calls him the deceiver of the whole world. And the Bible warns us several times about falling into Satan's snares or his traps. You see, the reality is, folks, that you and I, often when we sin, we do it because in some way we are deceived. We believe a lie. And yes, we maybe should have known better. Yes, we should have had the knowledge. But at the end of the day, some things we do because we've been deceived. But yet, even in that deception, the Bible still tells us that we still sin. And we are still responsible for our sin. And so even when our sins are unintentional, we are entering into a conspiracy with the devil. We are working with him to do what is evil. He is working through us to do what is wrong. There's examples of this idea throughout Scripture. The deceiver and humanity conspiring together for evil. One that immediately came to my mind was that of Judas Iscariot. We know that Judas, of course, was one of the 12 apostles. He was with Jesus. He worked with him. He heard Jesus speaking. He saw the miracles. And yet, what did Judas do? Well, he betrayed Jesus. He sold him for the price of a servant, 30 pieces of silver. And we know from the Scriptures that Judas chose to do this. He chose to go to the priest. He chose to hand Jesus over. He chose to accept the money. And he chose to betray Jesus with that kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. But yet the Bible also tells us that Satan had put this into Judas's heart. And in one passage, we're even told that Satan entered into Judas. Now, I don't believe that Judas was possessed by a demon in a sense that he could not do anything else. He was not under Satan's control in that sense. Yet, he allowed himself to become under Satan's control by working together with the devil for sin. What about another example? What about Acts chapter 5? In Acts chapter 5, we read about Ananias and Sapphira. And they are a couple in the early church that have decided to sell a piece of property and give the proceeds to the church, to the apostles. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 5 and verse 9 that the husband and wife did this together with their full knowledge. They worked together in that way. But also, it tells us that they did it with Satan. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?" You see, their sin was not in keeping back some of what they sold. No, their sin was in the fact that they lied so that they could look better and more generous than everyone else around them. And in that lie, they sin against the church, they sin against the apostles, they sin against each other, and they sin against the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, "You have allowed Satan to fill your heart." It was a conspiracy. Satan and Ananias and Sapphira were working together for sin. But what about the greatest and the first example of this conspiracy found in Genesis chapter 3? Of course, you will remember that in the very beginning of your Bibles, hopefully, you will remember that it begins by saying, "The Lord created the heavens and the earth." And in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you read about God creating. Ultimately, God creates man. He creates him in his own image. He, male and female, both in his image. He places them in a garden. And the Lord says, "It's very good." But then The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 that a serpent comes into the picture. I already referenced Revelation 12, verse 9, which calls Satan that great serpent. The serpent, who I believe is Satan himself, comes into the picture, and the Bible tells us he's more crafty than any of the other creatures. He is a deceiver. He's a liar. And he comes to Eve, and the serpent says, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" Well, actually, no. What God had said is you can eat from any tree you want except this one. The one of the knowledge of good and evil. All other trees are available to you. You can eat of any of the fruit in the garden except this one. But Satan twists that. He deceives. And he says, "Did God say you can't eat from any of them?" And Eve corrects him. Eve says, "No, just this one." And she said, "The Lord told me that when we eat of this, we will die." And with the addition of one single word, Satan deceives the woman and twists what God had said. The Lord said to them, "You eat of this tree, you will surely die." Satan simply says, "You will not surely die." And so the woman looks at the food. She sees it's pleasing to the eye. It'd be good for food, and it would really be desirous to become wise, like God himself. See, that's the lie that Satan introduced. He said, basically, God's trying to keep something from you. God knows that when you eat this, you'll be like him, and God doesn't want you to be powerful like him, so you better not eat this. See, Satan introduced this doubt and this lie in her mind that said, God is maybe not really good, he's not really trustworthy, he doesn't really have my best interest in mind. And so the Bible tells us that the woman, she enters into this sin with Satan, and she takes some of it, and gives it to her husband, who, by the way, has been there the whole time and said nothing. You know, when I was a teenager, I would love to tease the girls at church and say, "You know, if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be in this mess." But in all actuality, if it wasn't for the man standing by and doing nothing, we wouldn't be in this mess either. See, who's to blame in this situation? Is it the serpent? Is it the woman? Is it man? And the answer is yes, all three of them. And while they all try to shift the blame, God appears to all of them and he gives everyone a rebuke and a consequence. And so the consequence of man entering into this conspiracy with Satan is that we become ashamed, we become fearful of God and his presence, and ultimately we experience death, both physical and spiritual. See, the sobering reality is that you and I cannot blame Satan for our sin. We cannot simply say, "The devil made me do it." Yes, he tempts us. Yes, he deceives us. Yes, he tries to get us to sin. But at the end of the day, when you and I choose to sin, we are joining ourselves with Satan. We are entering into this conspiracy. But yet, even in the midst of this most terrible of conspiracies, there is hope and there is good news. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, if you will. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It says that since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he, that is Jesus Christ, likewise partook of the same things. He became flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Folks, here's the good news. Even though we are guilty, even though we have entered into this conspiracy with Satan, Jesus came, he became like one of us, and he died in our place so that you and I could be set free from sin and set free from the devil's power. John chapter 3 and verse 8, which we already read, it says that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And so even though you and I have become involved in the worst conspiracy imaginable, Jesus Christ did not abandon us, but rather he gave his very life to set us free. You see, the plan of salvation was something that was set in motion even from the beginning. In fact, the Lord came to the woman after she had sinned, and he says this in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." I'm sorry, I misspoke. He's speaking to the serpent here. He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. And he shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel." See, the reality is, Satan continues to attack Christians. He continues to go after us. He's nipping at our heels. He's bruising us. But the offspring of woman, the seed of woman, Jesus Christ, would bruise or crush the head of Satan himself. I love what it says in Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. We are told that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. See, the greatest conspiracy, that of us joining together with Satan, is defeated by the greatest plan of salvation. That is God joining together with his people. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 tells us that the glory of our salvation is this: it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Lord spoke of the fact that Christians could withstand this serpent in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. He says, they have conquered him. First and foremost, Revelation 12, verse 11. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. What does that mean? It means there's hope. There's good news for you and I as God's people. We can conquer Satan just like they did. First and foremost, we conquer Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ has shed his blood. My sins have been forgiven. They've been washed away. We can conquer Satan by the word of our testimony. We stand firm on God's truth. We proclaim it. We never give it up. And we can conquer because in the end, we know that our lives in this earth are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. And so, Christian, let me encourage you to stop conspiring with the devil to do what is evil, but instead, in the blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of God's word, stand against the schemes of Satan. Ephesians 6 verse 11 says, "Put on the full armor of God, and you will be able to withstand the devil's schemes." And if you're not yet a Christian, if you have not yet been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by being immersed in baptism, you can do that. You can even do that today. Give me a call. I will baptize you this afternoon if you are ready to put on Jesus Christ. Well, maybe I'll get someone else to baptize you since I'm in quarantine. But someone will baptize you if you are ready to be washed clean, to be cleansed of your sin. The Bible tells us that through Jesus Christ, we are delivered from the domain of darkness and we enter into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. If you're ready to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, if you're ready to leave this conspiracy and enter into God's kingdom, please don't delay. If you want to know more about this, please get in touch. I would love to study with you, whether that be by email or by phone, whatever it is. You can send us a message on Facebook. You can email us at info@mtvchurchofchrist.com. You can give us a call at 740-397-0838. Please, if you have not yet been saved by Jesus Christ, don't delay. Let me pray for you all, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, I do thank you and I praise you. I thank you that you have cleansed us by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ. I thank you that you have given us hope, hope that goes beyond this life, Father. And I thank you that we can withstand the devil's schemes. And even though we do fall, we do make mistakes, we do sin, you are a God of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And we know that when we come to you confessing and repenting our sins, that your mercy is there for us. Help us, O Lord, to remember that each and every day. I, Father, ask that you'd continue to be with those who are suffering and hurting this time, whether it is from their health, whether it is from economic standpoint. Father, maybe it's a healthcare worker who is struggling during this time. Whatever it is, God, please be with them and be with our church. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us. I hope to see you this evening at 5 p.m. and then, of course, also Wednesday at 7. Have a great day, everyone.